So every day you drive to work and you trust that the other motorists will abide by the rules, stay on their side of the road and try not to run you down. It may seem obvious, but we take the role that trust plays in regulating our lives for granted. In fact, our entire social world depends on it. It's famously true that the diamond market in Amsterdam, the largest in the world, works entirely on what was once referred to as a gentleman's bond. Literally, millions of pounds worth of diamonds are traded solely on the strength of a handshake as to the quality and payment. To be fair, there would probably be an issue of hooded gentlemen and broken legs if anyone did try to pull a fast one. But the real core to it is personal trust within a very small closed community of fewer than a dozen people. Well, they will only trade with each other, and if you're not one of them, forget it. You won't even get a peek at the stuff worth buying. Trust permeates every aspect of our daily lives. Not to put too fine a point on it, it reaches the parts that only certain beers are said to reach. There has always been an implicit assumption that trust is based on some kind of reciprocity. You know, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours later. But now it seems that trust has a chemical basis. The chemical in question is an obscure little thing called oxytocin. A group of economists at Zurich University in Switzerland have recently shown that a squirt of oxytocin from a nasal spray can make you more willing to share a reward with another player. Well, in these experiments, one contestant, the investor, is given a sum of money and then invited to share some or all of it with a second contestant, the trustee. Whatever the investor gives to the trustee is doubled, and the trustee is then invited to share some, all or none, of the enlarged pot with the original investor. Now, the investor's risk, of course, is that the trustee simply pockets the lot. But if the investor could trust the trustee, they would both do best by the investor putting the whole sum into the initial pot and then the trustee offering half of the augmented pot back. Both investors, however, hedge their bets and offer something, but not the whole lot. But investors, given a single shot of oxytocin before they make their offer, share 17% more of their initial pot with the trustee than those sprayed with an inert chemical, a placebo. What makes it clear that this is about trust is the fact that when the experiment was rerun, with the trustee's decision being made at random by a computer, but with the same probability of defection, or pocketing the money, as that shown by the trustees in the previous experiment, then there was no difference between the oxytocin and the placebo conditions in the investor's willingness to share. In other words, it was not simply risk that the investors were betting on, but their understanding of human behaviour. What actually makes this experiment particularly interesting is that oxytocin turns up in other important social contexts. It's released in copious quantities during and after sex, generating that deep sense of attachment that seems to permeate every corner of our bodies in the aftermath. Comparison of monogamous and polygamous voles suggests that the pair bonding that underpins monogamy in these species is also based on an especially high sensitivity to oxytocin. It also facilitates nest building and pup retrieval in rats, and mother-offspring bonding in sheep. This does not, of course, mean that our lives are regulated entirely by chemicals. Rather, the point is that these chemicals create a neural environment that's sensitive to certain kinds of cues when these are encountered. There are many other familiar examples. We've known for over half a century, for example, that the flight-fight response is underpinned in much the same kind of way by the hormone epinephrine, otherwise known as adrenaline. Release of the hormone prepares the body for action, but which action, flight or fight, depends on how the individual perceives the circumstances. By the same token, in the Zurich experiment, some of the investors who were given oxytocin were a great deal less generous than some of those in the control group. That probably reflects a combination of two supplementary effects. One is likely to be individual differences in sensitivity to oxytocin's effects. Women, for example, are much more sensitive to it than men, and there will be further variations within each sex. The other is likely to be the investors' sensitivities to the cues of honesty that are given off by trustees once they've been primed by the hormone to pay attention to them.